the crowd on its feet. They are absolutely silent.
Wow, harder than I thought. Racing and talking at the same time.
Welcome to World of Motorcycling, covering rider culture and the motorcycle industry with John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and Steve, the producer, Johan.
Welcome, everyone, to another hour of World of Motorcycling. I'm Walt with my co-hosts, John and Steve. We've got a great show lined up for you, and we always start this segment off with Inside the Helmet, where we do a ride-by overview of what's happening in the motorcycling industry. And one thing we've been tracking is where the road ends. They are now turning into Argentina. I actually misunderstood the map of South America. I thought that Peru was at the bottom. It is not. Peru is about in the middle, and Chile is in the bottom. And just before they get to Chile, they're headed to Argentina. And that's what I thought they were going to do in the first place. But they now have a tracking website, which is https://, so that's, you have to do that because it's secured,
right?
demo.rastrack.net/ where the road ends, all one word, / again. And when you go there, you'll see a little motorcycle, and that's where they actually are on the roads that are going down through it. And so they're just turning into Argentina. And once they get there, they won't go to any other countries because Tierra del Fuego belongs to Argentina.
There you go.
So I don't know how long it'll take them to get all the way through Argentina. But
man, they got some
big country.
They got some time on their hands too. These guys must be retired or whatever. They can.
They're retired military.
Yeah. So.
But
that's what happens when you're retired. You can do these many month long type of journeys. Our good friend David did that. Went down to Central America for numerous months, and now he's been over in Australia, New Zealand with his wife for a couple months, whatever.
Yep.
I like that idea.
Well, and they're being sponsored by numerous different companies
They're
working with, and they're going to have a movie, so they'll make money out of it. And so,
good. Sounds like something I need to do. Speaking of making money, Harley-Davidson workers seeking Trump's help. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers continues exerting pressure on Harley-Davidson Incorporated in an effort to try and save the Kansas City assembly plant. But the company remains firm in its plan to shut it down, according to a report from the Kansas City Business Journal. On behalf of IAM's more than 600,000 members, IAM President Robert Martinez Jr. sent a direct letter asking President Donald Trump, asking him to intervene, stop the closing, and save about 800 jobs in Kansas City. For decades, hardworking machinists, union members have devoted their lives to making high-quality American-made products for Harley, Martinez wrote. Martinez expressed shock that the Milwaukee-based motorcycle manufacturer is closing American plants while it builds a new production plant in Thailand, supporting jobs there and also at plants in Brazil and India. On the other hand, Harley said the overseas plants were a separate issue to the overcapacity in the United States. Harley is trying to sell more motorcycles overseas, and it's more economical to build the motorcycles in or near those target countries to avoid shipping costs and tariffs. Well, before we move on, that's what GM, Ford, Chrysler, everybody's been doing this for decades and decades and decades and decades. They have plants in different countries where they want to sell their vehicles. Harley's no different. Polaris is doing the same thing. I think a number of other companies do the same thing. So,
and one of the biggest things about it is that more than half of the capacity of that plant was V-Rods, which
discontinued.
They weren't making any money.
Well, they weren't selling enough. Just like they stopped the Buell Blast and the Buells.
That's right.
And
also, the same plant.
And didn't they, one other line?
They also had Sportsters there, but they can build the Sportsters at York, Pennsylvania.
There you go.
So.
Well, and then speaking of other manufacturers, BRP Incorporated reported its financial results for the three and 12-month periods ending in January 31st, 2018, revealing the biggest revenue figures in the company's history. All financial information is Canadian dollars unless otherwise noted. As expected, revenues decreased by $42 million, or 3.2%. for the 3-month period ended in January compared to the what they did last year, but for the corresponding time in 2017. The revenue decrease was mainly due to lower wholesale and seasonal products and an unfavorable foreign exchange rate variation of $14 million. You got to remember, when there's foreign exchange, I think the Japanese were making more because of their exchange rates. And so when you ship out.
But, we get that a lot around here from the Canadians, too, because
yes,
they come down and they're always saying, well, you know, our money's no good down here.
Right.
So.
But I remember when it was on par.
Oh, yeah.
I remember it wasn't too long ago. All of
wasn't
a sudden.
Not long ago. It was on par.
That's right. And then S&S Cycle of Viola, Wisconsin, has hired Martin Sklavowski to its sales team as manager, EMEA, Europe, Middle East, and East Africa. Martin brings nearly 3 decades of performance motorcycle expertise and will be point man for the S&S Cycle's EMEA expansion efforts in this key region. Again, so we're talking more export, more expansion. And if you do anything to look at any of the boards, you look at the Milan show, custom bikes are quite popular in many countries around the world.
Yep.
And S&S is a huge supplier of engine parts and accessories for the custom market. So it makes sense that they'd be wanting to expand. And he's the guy. He came in from working with, it says, most recently managed UK European sales office for MAG Europe, and before that, a prominent Harley-Davidson dealer in London. Operating in the heart of the London custom scene has given Martin a unique perspective, deep relationship in that space. So good luck on that. Lastly, Ducati enthusiasts and fans alike from all over the world will congregate at the Ducati Island during Austin's MotoGP weekend. And I know John's going to be talking about MotoGP a little later in the show. As part of the race day programming, Ducati Island will offer ultimate Ducati experience featuring the 2018 lineup, scrambler road trip tour bus, team appearances, meet and greet opportunities with executives and more. And it's all located in the Ducati Island at the racetrack. So for all race fans who are down there, have fun. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I wonder if they allow you to take it out on the track and do some test rides. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, that would be cool. I don't think they're going to let you, but
no,
it'd be cool.
I don't think so either.
Hang on, and we'll be right back with more of World of Motorcycling.
Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the World of Motorcycling show. If you have any interest in what's happening in the automotive world, then I invite you to listen to a really cool show called Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, where we cover car culture and the automotive industry. Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is a fast-paced weekly podcast featuring Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and me, Steve Johan. You can hear the show at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. where we'll be waiting for you.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377. Where we have helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, a law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? you greedy sucker.
Welcome back to the second segment of World of Motorcycling. Walt, Steve, and John here. For more about the show, please visit us at www.worldofmotorcycling.com. We like to start this section off with Behind the Bars, where we spend some time covering cool stuff, trends, new bikes, people, and more. So we had some very exciting racing take place last week and over the weekend. Two racing series had their first rounds. American Flat Track had their first round Thursday at Daytona.
And it looked like Indian took the winning slots on
Indian
that one.
Took the win with a Yamaha in second and a Kawasaki in third.
Oh, so good.
It's kind of cool to see the different makes.
Yes, it is.
You know, being competitive with each other. So that's pretty neat.
I do too. I think it's great.
If you didn't get to see the race, it'll be broadcast Sunday on NBCSN.
So, okay.
Cable provider or satellite provider has NBCSN, you can catch the race on Sunday.
Very good.
And then this past Sunday, MotoGP Round 1, the Grand Prix of Qatar, Ducati, Andrea Dovizioso won a nail-biter, came right down to the last corner on the last lap.
Wow.
I think the margin of victory was 0.027 seconds when they crossed the line.
Wow.
Yeah, but Dovizioso squeaked it out over Marc Marquez, and Valentino Rossi finished on the podium in third, so... Very competitive race. It was very exciting. It was fun to watch.
Well, speaking of racing, Yamaha has vowed to keep Valentino for two more years.
Yeah, he signed another contract. He'll be riding until he's at least 41.
That's right. So MotoGP legend Valentino Rossi signed a two-year contract with Yamaha, and that's good for him, good for Yamaha. And
that's going to be exciting to watch him race for two more years.
I got a book over here. I'd love to get the author on, but he's in the U.K., yeah. So I think there's a little time differential between...
Only 8 hours.
Yeah. Maybe I could do something more his time, record it, and put it on here. If I can get that, I'll do it. It's a whole book on Valentino Rossi, very well put together by Motorbooks. And speaking of, Val Thompson survives a 376-mile-per-hour crash. Actually, it was 343 miles per hour.
Yeah, 343.
Right. Women's motorcycle land speed world record, Valerie Thompson... survived a horrible crash in Australia on Monday when her streamlined bike crashed at 343 as she was attempting to go for the record of 376 miles per hour at the World Speed Trials on Lake Gardiner. When something went wrong during a run and the bike fell on its side, digging a deep trench into the salt flats and spreading wreckage over a mile. This took place Monday the 19th. So just yesterday this happened, and wow. I'm glad that she's doing fine. Yeah. You think, okay, they're in this enclosed, because that thing's a very enclosed streamline.
Yeah. Yep, you're in a little tube.
You are. But the bottom line, when you're going 343 miles an hour and you're on the ground, you're going to do some damage.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very fortunate to walk away.
It didn't look like, the picture that they had of it, didn't look like that it actually got through the outer shell.
No, it left
like
everything.
It kind of slid on
still,
its side.
Still, it probably banged
way.
Her up real good in banging around in there. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know that you take risks when you're out on the racetrack.
Yep.
And you just that's just all part of the whole, look, speed is an adrenaline thing. And some people are just adrenaline drunkies. And they will hit their life for a little more adrenaline and trying to set those records are like mountain climbers. They're willing to do whatever it takes. How many people have died on the way to Mount Everest? Quite a few.
Yep.
And matter of fact, I've heard when they're going up, if they die, they leave them and they keep right on up till they get to the top, and then they come down and pick them up on the way back
down. Because they'll be frozen solid.
They'll be frozen anyway.
And then speaking of very, very popular individuals who've done a lot in their life. Tony Hawk will be featured at the upcoming race series, opening round at 2018 Moto America Series. The Suzuki Championship at Road Atlanta will see two extreme action sports, motorcycle road racing and skateboarding, converge as Moto America will pay host to legendary skateboarder Tony Hawk on Saturday, April 14th at 4:30 p.m. in the main paddock. Hawk and his five skater crew of world-class skateboarders will be skating in the personal state-of-the-art ramp brought in just for this event. What's interesting is I think he was even at the Olympics because he's good friends with the free snowboarders.
Sean White and company?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've got a very good friend who lives here locally who's actually pals with a lot of these guys. And he's got his own skateboard park in his backyard, and he sells a product that use it. But I'll have to talk to him and see if he knows what's going on. But he didn't go on in the world of it, unlike Hawk, who has made a career out of it. Yep. My good friend Russ has not. So he damaged himself enough on snowboarding that I don't think he does that anymore. But he still hits the skateboard. Huh. And then one other thing. Oh yeah, Revival Recycles is preparing for its fifth year of the Hand-Built Motorcycle Show and its 2018 event set to be the biggest yet. Hand-Built Motorcycle Show will be happening this weekend at the MotoGP, April 20th through the 22nd, in the heart of downtown Austin at Fair Market. Last year, the event brought in an estimated 42,000 motorcycle enthusiasts and onlookers that circled among 110 custom hand-built motorcycles inside the Fair Market in the middle of downtown Austin, Texas. The custom motorcycle shop Revival Cycles are the inventors and curators of the annual event that is remarked as the best custom motorcycle show in the country. I'm going to work to get those guys on board.
Yep.
I think it'd be great to interview them. I'm going to talk to Revival Cycles. So I'll put that on my docket to call. And what else you guys got while I'm trying to get our...
Well, they have one park in Daytona Beach, Florida, where they said that every year for Bike Week and Biketoberfest, they have events there, and they have shut it down. And so they're going to have it on Biketoberfest this next October, and that will be the last time that will be anything in that area. They just...
They're going to redevelop it or something, I wonder. So. Yamaha filed for a new trademark on the TYE. And so the rumor mill is saying that that's a possible electric trials bike that they might have in the works, but nobody knows when or if we'll see it.
Ooh. Well, I know that I was seeing that with the Daytona. They're going to change some things over, and it's interesting because a lot of the board says, well, they'll keep doing fine on the other side. And so what we'll do is... I think we got our guest on, and Robert, are you there, Robert?
I am.
All right, so I'm going to switch you over there, and we got Robert Hess. He is our guest, and I thought if it would be okay with the guys, you'd bring him a little early. Would that be okay, guys? Yep.
Sure.
Okay. Well, since we've already done it.
I was going to say, too late now.
Yeah, it's kind of like anyway. Yeah.
Well, no, Robert
it's
Hess.
All good. Welcome.
Yeah, Robert is, founder of, at least the founder or co-founder of, let me see, it is Tour D USA. And you can get more information at TourDeUSA.events. You can go there. And it's a multi-state tour across the United States. And we thought we'd bring on Robert to chat a little bit about this thing. But first of all, Robert spent a career in the U.S. Army. So he was an Army Ranger, parachutist, helicopter pilot, worked in the Pentagon and State Department, has visited almost every country in Western Europe and Sub-Saharan Africa, bought his first motorcycle when he was in flight school at Fort Rucker, Alabama, rode in from Fort Rucker to Fort Walton Beach, Florida, on knobby tires, quite a ride. Bought his next two motorcycles while he was in business school at UCLA, and rode his lowrider solo through the back roads of Death Valley right before his prostate cancer surgery in 2004. So how's it going on there, Robert?
Yeah, so doing well. Thanks, Steve. Delighted to be on with I would guess a whole slew of motorcyclists.
Yes.
I feel a little.
I don't know if we're a slew or not, but we're a few.
I don't have any motorcycles.
Two of us.
Now I'm on four wheels.
What was that, Robert?
Yeah, I said it feels a little bit strange because, 2 years ago I had to give up my motorcycle, so I went from two to four wheels.
Uh huh. Well, that doesn't mean you can't be on the show because the event that you hold is something that started out on a motorcycle, and Robert kind of filled me in that he said his wife said, it's enough, Robert, you're not going to be riding a motorcycle anymore. And Walt knows that pressure in his own family.
We made a deal, and she let me run 18 months past our agreed date, and at that point, I figured I better come clean.
Yeah, you probably pushed your luck far enough at that point, huh?
A lot of people who ride motorcycles don't understand that there are people who are deathly fearful of them,
yep.
And the last thing they want is their loved one on a motorcycle.
Yep.
And so in order to keep peace and harmony in the home, many people have given up their riding because their relationship was more. Now, I hate to say this, but I have met individuals, men, who would rather give up their relationship, and they kept riding. And, there's no more said there.
I think
there.
I know a couple of those, too.
Yes. That would not be me. Yep. I'm too attached to my my wife. So,
well, the funny part about it with me is that the one that was always all over me was my kid's sister,
right?
Who works in a hospital, and she says, "You know what we call motorcyclists? Organ donors and all that stuff." You know, so she'd pick on me. And then one day, I got her to go out and take the rider's course. And she fell in love with motorcycles, and so now she never says that stuff anymore.
She's a convert.
Yes.
Well, Robert, we had you. We're going to come up to our break here, and then we'll have the whole next segment to chat. But briefly, what caused you to do your first ride in the first place, and then how did you manage to make this into an event?
Yeah, so great question, Steve. So this whole prostate cancer thing for me began in December of 2003 when I was diagnosed. I call myself the accidental prostate cancer survivor because I was diagnosed with multiple tumors when my blood markers, my PSA test was normal, and I had a negative physical exam.
Well, I'm going to have you hold it there. I'm going to have everybody on pins and needles because we're coming up to
cliffhanger.
We're coming up to our break, and we want to give you a full amount of time to share. So hang on with us there, Robert. We're going to be right back.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
sounds good.
As Steve said, we've run out of time for this segment. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more from Robert.
That's right. So here we go.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, all you guys and gals. The next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau de Smell Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punker Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late-night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau de Smell, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau de Smell, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau de Smell. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau de Smell, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
You could crack a chrome crown nut, make a hardtail go soft.
Welcome back to the third segment of the show, also known as Candid Conversations. This is where we interview the movers, the shakers, the pioneers, the speed freaks, the customizers, the rebels within the world of motorcycling. Tonight, we don't have necessarily a speed freak or a rebel, but we do have an individual who started a really cool ride, and we wanted to bring Robert Hess on to share about the Tour de USA. And if you've been listening, you know that you can go, information is tourdusa.events. And we just started out, we left off with how this started. And you said that you had been diagnosed with prostate cancer, correct?
Yeah, Steve. So for most guys, I mean, it's kind of a touchy subject. But so I was, as I mentioned before, it was kind of an accidental diagnosis. You know, my PSA blood test number was normal. My physical exam was normal. And in my particular case, I got a case of what they call prostatitis. And prostatitis is nothing more than just an inflammation of the prostate.
Mm-hmm.
But it generally causes the PSA to spike. And so that's what happened to me. And I went into this doctor and we went through the normal course of treatment, which is antibiotics to bring the inflation down. And after we did that, they did another test. And to cut a long story short, you know, we found out I had multiple tumors, two tumors in my prostate sitting up on top of the prostate where they couldn't be felt. Hmm. So, you know, that led to, you know, my treatment, but it also led me into, you know, taking a look at prostate cancer and how you found out about it.
Right.
Because when I was diagnosed, to be honest, you know, I had no idea what the prostate was, what it did, or where it was located.
Right.
You know, and I think that's basically the case with most guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then statistics, you know, I did a little look, and we normally think that prostate cancer is something that happens only to older guys. And the data shows that 43% of all prostate cancer happens in guys younger than 65.
Wow.
Yep.
You know, and the aggressive prostate cancers will tend to show up earlier, you know, in their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So prostate cancer claims the lives of just about 24,000 guys every year.
Wow.
So my Army, you know, training said, okay, I should do something about this. So I had at that time, I had a software team in India that was developing a program that we were developing for community banks. So I had them program a little system for us that takes a guy's PSA test number and puts it on a graph. Basically, it just makes the trend line related to one PSA test, you know, and the next one visible. So if you think about, you know, taking a piece of graph paper, you know, and putting dots on it for your annual PSA test, and then you just connect the line.
Mm-hmm.
And if that line is going up, that's an upward trend. It's kind of a danger signal. And that means that you should go see your doc and say, hey, doc, my PSA number is rising. Is this prostate cancer or is it something else? So that is a big story behind, you know, the prostate cancer, you know, issue. And so what can I do in, you know, the community of guys to help reduce that prostate cancer death toll? That was the genesis of my cross-country trip on my Harley Lowrider in 2010. I went from L.A. to the East Coast, up to Washington, D.C., the White House, and back to L.A., you know, stopping at state capitals as I went. And so that was all about prostate cancer awareness, talking to state governments. 2 years later, in 2012, we had over 100 riders, motorcyclists, that participated in the Prostate Cancer Pony Express. We crossed the U.S. four times in a Pony Express relay ride. So that was, you know, the genesis of the Tour de USA. We had a great time on that ride. We had actually more sport bikes than, you know, in Harleys. And after I did 8,300 miles on my lowrider, I know why. You know, I think I'm still vibrating. but it was a great trip. You know, we had a lot of guys get involved in this. And we didn't do it for the next couple of years simply because, you know, it was all volunteers and it was a lot of coordination involved.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, what I'm doing is starting in mid-August, I'm going to be driving across, you know, a similar route, driving. I have a little Mazda Miata now that I use out on the autocross circle or circuit. So I'm going to be driving that one. And my goal with this, it's going to be an annual event. And what I'm trying to do is create something like Rolling Thunder, but for cancer survivors.
Right.
So 2018 is going to be about prostate cancer. 2019 is going to be breast cancer. And in the succeeding years, you know, we're going to pick up other cancers. So, you know, the idea is really to get people focusing on, you know, testing, early detection, treatment, and then what we all can do to support cancer survivors in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are about 15 million cancer survivors, you know, alive today in the U.S., and there's a new cancer survivor every 19 seconds.
Wow. Well, let's move in a little bit into the actual route. So it says the Tour de USA is a dual world record attempt and longest charity road rally, and with the most participants in a charity road rally. So talk to us about, is this year going to be, have you already got people lined up? How do people, or is this going to be the setting the route? You said you haven't done it, now you're 2018. How do people get involved in actually doing this route? Have you got it pinpointed where people are going to go, or they can, you know, how's that work?
Yeah, great question. We have a website up, and it's tourdeusa.events.
Okay.
And that's tourdeusa.events. And so I've just put up all the states. So we're going to actually be doing about 22 states. And we're starting in here in LA, then we're going over to Phoenix and Arizona, you know, then down to New Mexico, Texas, Louisiana, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I put a forum on the website. So if somebody goes to the website, of course, you know, it's like any website, you see a bunch of pages, but then there's a forum. And in that forum, you know, there's basically a discussion group for each day of the event. And so day one, for example, is the 15th of August. You know, that's when I'll leave LA and drive over to Phoenix. And so there's a discussion post in there. And there are, if you click on the forum, you know, for a particular day, it shows up and it will show, you know, what the route is. There'll be a start point and an end point for that day. And I'm going to be, we will be posting in each one of those, in the forum for each day, the exact route that we're going to be following. Plus, I'm going to be carrying a GPS tracker, so anybody will be able to follow where I or and whoever is with me, where we are with just a 5-minute delay.
Very good. So if somebody wanted to track you down and join you, they could.
Absolutely. They'll know where we're going to go, the route we're going to be taking, and where we're going to be finishing up that day.
I think that's great because it's the kind of thing that, let's say, John or Walt, if we lived in that neck of the woods, might want to say, you know, I'm going to join him for a leg, and I'm going to go from point A to point B, and I'm going to meet up, and I'm going to hang out with you guys at night, and then on the next day, I'll just turn around and come back home. And you can do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And to get all this done, you know, I'm running about 6 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Some days longer. So I'm not sure that I don't have an expectation that somebody would do the entire 6 hours. But they could link up with me at any point, you know, along a day's route. And what we're really trying to do is, you know, with the GPS tracker is to get, you know, people kind of engaged, right? So they can watch and see what's happening. But my goal is a media event. So what I'd love to do is, you know, be able to pull into a TV station parking lot or a radio station parking lot, you know, at the end of the day with 20 or 30 cars or 20 and 30 motorcycles in a mix, you know, roll into the parking lot and get their attention, you know, to get that 30 seconds, you know, of media exposure about, you know, the importance of prostate cancer awareness.
Very good. That is great. Yep. So I like the idea of tracking, so we can even keep track on the show here as to where you're going.
Yeah.
It's going to be a 36-day, 21, 22 states, 9,348 miles. So not a lot of iron butt here, but more, like you said, for people to join you, meet up at the township, and then hopefully people have said, hey, here's a radio station, here's a TV station. Let's pull in, like if it was locally, maybe King 5 or Como or Cairo or something locally here, and pull in and knock at the door and say, hey, we got a bunch of people. We'd love to have a chance to highlight something that we think's really cool. And they go, well, I think we could do that. And they run down and do a little blurb. I think that's what you're like really shooting for, right?
Steve, that would be absolutely perfect. There was nothing I would like better than to, you know, have somebody come out the door of their, you know, their TV station and, you know, and find, you know, 40 guys standing in their parking lot, you know, saying, hey, guys, let's think about prostate cancer. Go get that PSA test.
And then do you have a link where people can get that software or that app for them to track?
Yes, I do, but it's, and Steve, I should actually probably send that to you because I have it, but it's live. It's empty right now.
Okay.
So because I'm not moving. So if somebody were to go to that link, it would just be empty.
Oh, okay.
But I've got it, and that's a good point. I will, you know, make sure that I make that very obvious on the website, and I'll send it to you.
Yeah, because what I was thinking is if you have a program for people to track their, as you say, PSA, that you would want to have them get that and start using it for their life that you produced, right?
Yes.
Yep.
So that app is it's available free on the internet right now. It's at it's called Prostate Tracker App. .com.
You got that, guys?
ProstateTrackerApp.com.
Yep.
Well, we'll write that down, and we'll make sure we'll make sure to put a link in the show for everybody to do it because, you know, we have probably 80-20 mix to our show, 80 men, 80% male, 20% female that listens to the show.
Uh-huh.
So we all have prostates, and we need to keep track of that.
You know, and that's great because the best thing the ladies could do, you know, and I have to say we guys, you know, we get focused on motorcycles, not so much on the other stuff, but this is an anonymous program.
Yes.
So we don't track anyone's name or specific data. So any lady could just grab her husband's PSA test number, create the count, you know, an anonymous account and track it for him.
Oh, very good.
So the great thing about PSA Tracker is once you put in that your first PSA test number, the system will send an email, remind your email 11 months later that it's time to go get the next test.
Huh.
You know, us guys, we need those kind of reminders because we're going to try to put off anything it deals with physicality to the last minute until we're like almost dead. Then we're like, okay, I think we'll drag ourselves into the...
Maybe I should have had that test.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it is odd, right? I mean, we can all, you know, we all know when the last oil change was.
Yep. Well, you
when
know what?
We pulled the last service on our bike or car, right?
Well, I'm going to have to tell you that we are running out of time, and I just want to say thank you, Robert, for coming on with us. We're going to post all the information for everybody to check you out at your website, tourdusa.events, and we'll also put information for the prostate tracker. And we want to thank you so much for coming on with us.
Yeah.
You know, Steve, thanks for the invitation. It's been a delight. Wonderful to connect with motorcyclists again.
Very good. Well, you have a great evening, and I will be in touch, and we'll go from there.
Great. Thanks so much, guys.
You bet. Good night. Bye.
I saw the road ahead. It was a long and winding trail.
Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the World of Motorcycling show. If you have any interest in what's happening in the automotive world, then I invite you to listen to a really cool show called Horsepower Chrome and Rust, where we cover car culture and the automotive industry. Horsepower Chrome and Rust is a fast-paced weekly podcast featuring Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and me, Steve Johan. You can hear the show at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377, where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, the law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? You greedy sucker.
Welcome back to the fourth segment of our show. Make sure to visit our blog at www.worldofmotorcycling.com and use the contact form to send us your email. In this segment, we like to start things off with our Between the Lines, where we share a weekly safety tip. So, John, what tips do you have for us this week?
Well, it is springtime, and in spring, a young man's thoughts turn to motorcycling.
Yes.
So as we're getting the bikes out of the garage, maybe they've been sleeping for the winter, just a little checklist to run through to make sure that things are tip-top shape before you head out on the road. So check your tires, check your pressure, check your tread depth, check for any damage, dry rot or cracking, any signs of any kind of abnormality on your tires, and if there's an issue, get it in, get some new tires. If your bike is so equipped, check your chain and your sprockets. Check the chain for proper tension. Check the sprockets for wear. Clean and lubricate that chain. Check your front and rear wheel bearings. Make sure the wheels spin smoothly with no rough spots. Check the pad thickness and the fluid level for your brakes. Brake fluid should be changed every couple of years because it absorbs water over time. So if it's been a couple of years since you've had your brake fluid flushed out and replaced, you might want to look at having that done.
Mm-hmm.
Check your lights. Make sure the headlight works, high beam and low beam. Make sure your taillight works and your brake light, both with the front brake and the rear brake. And also make sure your turn signals are working. It's a good time to double check that you have replacement fuses for all of those things in your spare fuse box. Check your control operation. Make sure the throttle operates smoothly and that it retracts promptly. Clutch and brake levers operate properly with no binding. It's a good time to lubricate cables and the pivots for the levers. Check your air filter. Rodents like to make nests, and air filters are popular places for little creatures to get in there and make nests. So go ahead and pop that air filter off and take a look. Make sure some mouse hasn't made a home out of it. And change that filter if it looks dirty. If you have a liquid-cooled bike, make sure your coolant level's good. That's another thing that should be changed every couple of seasons. So check with mom, your motorcycle owner's manual, and see what mom says about how often you should change your coolant. Many bikes require valve adjustments. So if that's due, either do it yourself if you're equipped and capable, or make an appointment at the shop sooner rather than later because you want to get in there before they get too busy and start missing out on valuable riding time. If you didn't change your oil when you put your bike away in the fall, this would be a good time to do that. So you start the season with some nice fresh oil in there.
How about gas?
Fuel as well. If you didn't drain your tank or put some stabilizing agent in your fuel, it'd be a good time to do that, to flush that out. You may need to run something like some Seafoam through it first couple of tanks just to clear things out. As you're working on the bike, look for, you know, just general condition, loose fasteners, loose bodywork, that sort of thing. And also, make sure your registration and your insurance is up to date and that you have current tabs on your plate. Yep. It's easy to forget.
You know, we have people that are listening that are all over the United States and Canada, and the East Coast is getting hit by more snow.
Oh, they're getting hammered.
Oh, my gosh. You poor people out there. I Bob and the rest of you guys and gals, I just want to say, you know, we live here in Washington, and we get our little snow around Thanksgiving, and we got some for Christmas this year. We had a white Christmas. That was it. That was it. Pretty much it for us, and then the rest of the time it's rainy. It was cold. We had some cold days, but that's it. So pretty much you can ride almost all year round in the Northwest, and that's why as much as we put up with the rain, we get tired of it. It gets very dreary and gray. If you like to ride and you don't mind getting wet, you can pretty much ride year round.
Matter of fact,
John, you came in tonight.
Yep. Yeah, I rode today.
So did I.
Been riding.
And that's right. You did too.
Ridden every day for the last week, which has been really nice. We've had some really good weather.
We have, and it was just starting to sprinkle tonight. So you got to be very careful on the road, guys, going home because you know that road oil.
First rain after
long dry.
Yep.
I was playing back and forth as I was coming here from, you know, that the
on 99, that there's certain areas where it pools up at the
puddles.
The puddles, not as much on the freeway, but on the local where people stop at the stop signs, you can get some oil slicks there from people's cars leaking and stuff.
Yes.
Oh, and the tar snakes will get you too. There's a lot of tar snakes just right out here on this road.
Oh gosh, don't talk about tar snakes. Oh, yeah. This
place is awful. I was slipping around on those things all the way from down at 188. So. Yeah.
It's amazing. Our roads are just so crappy around here. They are really awful. Right. They are awful. And that's something else is when you're getting out in spring, what happens in the winter and things thaw out is there's a lot of upheaval in the ground. And consequently, a lot of potholes form, a lot of cracking forms. And the city is not or the county's not out fixing those as of yet. And so where it might have been a beautiful road a week ago, it gets heated up. And the next thing you know, you've got trouble.
Yep, they probably won't get it fixed until just before winter.
I've often thought it would be my duty to just, whenever I find potholes, is to have a can of fluorescent paint, the kind they use for siting things that are on your lawn or whatever, and spraying
just
a circle, marking it. And I'm, well, well, let's just say I've thought about this. So, because it is a hazard both in your car in your motorcycle, it really is a hazard. Uh-huh. And you know, we often talk about autonomous vehicles. And speaking of hazards, they had the first fatality where a woman jaywalked and stepped right in front of an autonomous car down in Tempe, Arizona.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so now they're looking into it. But on the other hand, as I said, that could have been here in 99, and it could have just been you on your motorcycle or in your car, because we have people that are running across the stinking. This we call 99, folks, for those who don't know, is it's 45 miles an hour, and you got businesses on both sides because it is actually a highway, state highway.
And a bunch of crazies running back
all
and forth.
All the time. I have nearly hit a number of them because at night, the only thing I can see is this little black thing going in front of the headlights that are coming towards me. And I'm like, is that, oh my gosh, slowing down, and they go running across. People don't think they're to try to save a little time because it's about a half mile walk between each light. And they don't want to walk that, so they're running across. And folks, we had a situation where a motorcyclist killed a pedestrian a number of years ago right here, not too far away from the studio. Yeah.
Well, one of the biggest things is because of some of the silliness that's gone on. In this state, the law is that as long as you can be shown to have made an attempt not to hit the person,
you're not at fault.
Then when you get it, when you hit them, they're the ones at fault. If you get damaged, they better have an estate somewhere because they're paying for your bike. But, you know, the biggest one that they have is when you're making a right turn and somebody runs out in front of you.
Yep.
Yeah. And you're in a turn. You can't, you know, all you can do is straighten out. You cannot stop.
Right.
So
there are people constantly running across crosswalks when the light's already changed and they're trying to hustle it across there.
Right.
And it's like long past the white light saying you can do that. And people are taking a right, and it, like you said, bam, they're you're like. So
well, once again, first rain after a long dry, and boy, it's slick as snot out there.
Yep. So take it easy, folks. Drive carefully. We want you around a long time.
Well, guys, we're down to one more segment. Don't go away because we have our Rallies and Runs trivia question coming right up.
What comes to your mind when you think about motorcycle riders? The first picture that comes to my mind is a road warrior. A road warrior is someone who has a passion for life and adventure, who willingly pits themselves against Mother Nature and the dangers of the road, all for a chance to see the world from the seat of a two-wheeled iron steed. A road warrior must approach biking in the same manner as a good soldier, because just like your military counterparts, you will always face plenty of real and potentially dangerous situations every time you're on the road. These include bad weather, animals, road conditions, pedestrians, and other vehicles that share the road with you. I suggest we apply the soldier's way of life to our riding experience by following these few simple rules. 1. Get basic training. 2. Get to know your equipment. 3. Keep your equipment in good running order. 4. Be prepared. Like the good soldier who carries his 50-pound pack, it's a good idea to carry proper riding gear, tools, and other essentials, including a cell phone, credit card, and at least $5 cash. 5. Just as a good soldier follows instructions given to him by his superiors, we need to follow our instructions too. Know the law and follow it. By doing this, you are less likely to encounter traffic tickets, higher insurance rates, and possible impoundment of your bike. 6. And lastly, keep a cool head. A trained soldier always keeps his cool, no matter what is coming at him. You can't think clearly when you're angry. And speaking of clear thinking, a good soldier would never face the enemy under the influence of drugs and alcohol, and neither should you. Ride sober. So to all of you, fellow road warriors, God bless, ride safe, and we'll see you out on the road.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Welcome back to the fifth and final segment of the show. We start things off with Rallies and Runs, where we briefly cover tours, rides, events, and more. Walt, what's happening?
Well, I can't find anything that is showing up for April, but in May...
Poor April.
Poor April.
But in May, From the 3rd to the 5th, we have Why We Ride to the Quail, which is it's done by the people who made the movie Why We Ride, and they're starting from Moor Park, California, going to Monterey, California, to the Quail, which is Concourse.
And we have an open invitation if we ever get the money and sponsorship
money
to go down there.
And then on May 11th to 20th is Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They're having the Myrtle Beach Bike Week being rally, and apparently the business people have prevailed in that because the government didn't want to, but the business people love it because they make a lot of money. So it will go on.
Good for them.
And then June 1st to 3rd is Reno, Nevada Street Vibrations.
Big show.
Which is
big
a
show.
Lot of fun.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that's what's coming up pretty soon.
I got one for April.
Yeah.
Tour of Honor opens April 1st.
Oh, that's right.
So there you go.
Not well, that late. Might be something you look into because you are a vet.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you can at least make it to the Linwood one. I think that's in there this year.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, okay. You got to go on there to find out. So, John,
you have to wait until April 1st to find out.
Oh, that's right. You won't know until,
April 1st.
He opens the gates and off you go. So, John, what's this week's? What was last week's trivia question and answer, and what's this week's?
Okay, so last week's question was, what company was the first to advertise its motorcycle's top speed of over 100 miles per hour?
I thought it was Indian, but I may be mistaken.
You are. Walt, you got a guess?
Probably Harley.
No. Brough Superior.
Oh.
The first company that advertised its motorcycle's top speed of over 100 mile per hour was Brough Superior that made the claim for its SS100 in 1924.
Wow.
Yes, that's
considered
true. That's
even
why they
today,
called it the 100. Yes.
Yep, considered even today to be innovative and beautifully designed machines, Brough motorcycles were the first to have prop stands, twin headlights, crash bars, interconnected silencers, and 1,000cc V-twin engines.
Wow.
Every SS1000 was road tested on public roads to check that it could reach 100 miles per hour. If it didn't, it was returned to the factory for further work. So you may recall that Lawrence of Arabia was killed in a motorcycle accident.
Yes.
He was riding a Brough Superior.
That's it.
Wow.
This week's question. Let's see. So we had a question a couple weeks ago about Suzuki. This is another Suzuki question. What does GSXR stand for in Suzuki's GSXR line of motorcycles?
Oh, very good question, and I'm not going to answer it. So.
Yeah, a lot of people call them Gixxers or what have you.
That's right.
What do the initials GSXR stand for?
And one last thing before we end the show is 1 p.m. Tuesday, investigators say the driver of a Nissan Titan pulled out in front of two motorcycle officers in Fresno Street, Lewis and Central Fresno. Both of the veteran officers were thrown from their bikes as they hit the passenger side of the truck. Both officers were awake and alert when the emergency crews arrived. So even motorcycle cops can be caught off guard when someone pulls in front of them. So folks,
particularly if it's a silver car that's going across three lanes.
That's right.
Well, there's our music. Remember, I'm Walt.
I'm John.
And I'm Steve.
Remember, keep the chrome side up and the rubber side down, and we'll see you out on the road.